Blog Talk Radio.
Well, that wasn't the intro I was looking for, but a combination of Anthony's music and a little Jimmy to get you going here on a Thursday afternoon, 1 o'clock, Tommy D, the KnicksBlog.com radio. Glad to have everybody out there listening. Hopefully you are. Going to be taking a bunch of phone calls as we motor through probably the next hour to hour and a half, depending on which direction the show goes. That's going to be completely up to you. And I will be here fielding questions. I have a pretty good feeling. I know what a lot of them are going to be surrounding. And I guess we can start there before we get into the phone calls. And I can see that there's already a couple people who are on the line, and we'll get to you right away for sure. Just let me spend a minute or two on last night's game. And, you know, it certainly was the Randy Foy show down the stretch. And I think a lot of fans, and I've gotten this on Twitter throughout the course of the day, you know, Randy Foy to me is just a perfect prototypical third or fourth guard. You know, to me, probably an upgrade to Tony Douglas at this point. I think Tony Douglas is a very good player. I think Tony Douglas is going to continue to develop and be a very good player off the bench. But at this stage of his career, he's just he's not there yet. He's only in his second year. Randy Foy is in his fourth year. And somebody who, to me, is just a perfect compliment guy, a guy who can catch and shoot, a guy who can go to the basket, a guy who can defend. He did all those things last night, finishing with 17 points in the fourth quarter, 24 for the game, and obviously allowing for fans to voice their frustrations by chanting, "We want Melo," and I'm not for that, to be honest with you. I think that's a poor job by the fans who are there. And if you hear any quacking in the background, I'm on my droid and I have a Tweetcaster, so that means I'm getting tweets. If it's a little annoying, hopefully at some point I can shut it off or change phones. But again, I'm not a fan of fans. You can boo, you can do whatever you want, but the "We Want Melo" stuff, you know, I think right now the team is having a difficulty focusing as it is. And, you know, it's Donnie Walsh's job to make sure the roster's in a situation where, you know, moving forward, they're going to be championship contenders. I really believe that's why the Knicks will end up with Carmelo on the 24th, as do a lot of people. So, you know, we're going to have to see what happens here over the next couple weeks. It's going to be a long couple weeks. It's eerily similar to the summertime in terms of stress level for me. So, fortunately for me, my one of the contributors here, one of my good friends, Andrew Smith, signed me up for a half marathon Long Branch in May, so I've been working off some stress, so that is an exciting thing. But I can tell there's going to be some stress out there on the phone lines, so let's get to some calls here at 104. You know the deal. I don't know who you are. I just know you by phone number, and instead of shouting out your phone number and, you know, to the cyber world, if you will, on Blog Talk Radio, I'll just go out there by area code, and if I don't hear anybody from their area code, then we'll get into the first three digits. All right, so let's start calling on the line right now from area code 516.
Yes, I'm 516. This is Kevin from Great Neck.
Kevin from Great Neck. What's up, buddy? Tommy D.
How are you? Do you think it's going to come down to giving up at least Wilson and Gallo to get Melo?
I think ultimately what it's going to come down to, Kevin, it'll probably be as much as it should be. And what I mean is it'll probably take two of those three. I can't see the Knicks going through a situation where they're only going to be giving up. When I first saw the three-way trade that Chris Broussard proposed. It made very little sense, and you know, I didn't feel like that was even close. Maybe in principle, and you know, the beginning. Okay, Minnesota wants Anthony Randolph. You know, Denver wants Eddie Curry's contract. You know, to help them with their finances. I get all that part, but you know, you're gonna have to give up a little bit more talent than that.
It feels like that deal has no steam to it anymore.
Say that again?
It feels like that deal has no steam to it anymore. It's like no one's talking about that deal.
I think that deal, you know, I think Minnesota is a logical third team. I think Denver needs to get more back. So to answer your initial question, I do believe it's going to take Wilson Chandler. And here's the thing, and either Gallinari or Field, I think because Gallinari and Chandler are similar positions, it would probably be Chandler or Fields. But at the end of the day, to me, you know, when you look at Wilson Chandler, the numbers that are being floated out there are 5 for 60. And in this economy and in this day and age of the NBA, I don't know who's going to offer him 5 years, $60 million. So I think
CBA.
A lot of times, especially with the CBA, you're right. I mean, when people talk about, oh, you don't want to rebuild around a guy like Wilson Chandler because he's going to be asking for a lot of money, doesn't mean he's going to get a lot of money. And they still control his contract, so and then they would have the ability to match. I just don't see Will being more than an $8 or $9 million per year player for a long time.
Those problems are going to maybe Denver doesn't want him because of the ankle injuries and the surgeries he's had in the previous years. Is that true?
See, I look at Will, and I'm surprised that he didn't finish the season and he's had injury issues because he just looks like, physically, he just looks like a very sturdy, he has a sturdy frame. He's a good athlete. He's very strong. But, yeah, he is prone to injury, and that's clearly something when you're talking about. I don't know if he'd necessarily be the centerpiece, but I think a lot of people, you know, I think finance would be, I think, number one want. I'm sure they want more tangible, talking about Denver, would want more tangible players, and Chandler is one of those. But, yeah, I'm sure there's an injury concern. I think the injury concern is much more so than the contract itself, in my opinion.
Do you think the L.A. rumor with Bynum going to Denver should scare Donnie Walsh a little bit? It seems like he's playing a poker game with the Nuggets.
And he's playing a great poker game to me. That's another thing. When I saw that, that's two in a row for ESPN who, you know, it's just not – I just don't see that. I mean, what Bynum gives L.A., okay, is championship-level frontline. And I think the Knicks lack that, and obviously they lack that. Even when they have Mozgov and Turiaf, they need to be able to have, you know, and Lamar Odom is a very key player for them because he can get offensive rebounds, he can keep possessions alive and rebound on the defensive end as well. But when you look at Boston, you look at the Lakers, you look at Orlando, in a sense, and they got Anderson playing pretty well now. Obviously, they have Howard, which is a huge advantage. You need to have the front line. To me, the front line is like the offensive line in football. You know, you got to be able to run the ball, you got to be able to pass the ball. In basketball, you got to be able to defend up front, and then get out in transition and run, and then score in the half court in the fourth quarter. So I don't think Melo for Bynum is a good deal for the Lakers, to be honest with you, and I don't think Kobe would be a fan of that deal either.
Is that a better offer than what the Knicks are giving if they give up Gallo and Chandler?
That's a good question. I wouldn't even go that far because I just don't think it's even close to happening. So, you know, is it a better deal? I mean, has Bynum played one full season? You know, you talk about Chandler's injuries. You know, clearly what the issue is with him is he can't stay on the court. He only can play 25-30 minutes per game, you know, versus a 35 or 40 minute player, you know, a star player. His knees aren't the best either. So I don't know. I think it's a toss up. But again, at the end of the day, I don't think it's even remotely possible.
All right, if we can't get Melo somehow by the deadline, or this summer, somehow he just doesn't end up in New York, where do we go from here? Do Knicks fans have to say, oh, we got to wait another year, the Chris Paul rumors, the Deron Williams rumors, the Dwight Howard rumors start coming back? Where do we go from here if we can't get Melo?
Yeah, I think it's a continuous concept. Miami set the stage. We understand what Miami's done, and in order to be able to compete with Miami, you do need to bring star players in. I think Deron Williams would love to play in New York. I think Chris Paul would love to play in New York. I think, you know, we've talked about how, hey, maybe LeBron James would love to play in New York. He didn't want to. You know, it's for whatever reason, LeBron didn't want to play New York. Did he want to go down to Miami and have it be much easier and have a couple star players with him? Okay. Was he afraid of the media and the scrutiny and the attention? I think so. I think there were a lot of factors there, but I think there are a lot of players who would love to play in New York, especially those who play in small towns right now. So I think they'll make moves moving forward, but just not strapping themselves. They're not going to bring in a long-term contract. I think what you'll see is you'll see guys maybe on 1 year or maybe 2 years with an option.
Similar to what Miami did.
Similar to what Miami did, because, again, that's what you're chasing. Celtics are getting old. The Lakers, Kobe's, you know, you got to figure out what's going on with his knee. You know, Oklahoma City's going to be there. You know, the Chicago Bulls are going to be there. The Magic have Dwight Howard, depending on what happens with his situation. So, to me, I think they continue to move forward in the plan that Donnie Walsh has been executing over the last couple of years. But, I mean, does Jim Dolan say to himself, you know what, we need to do something now, we need to be aggressive, and then all of a sudden when you get aggressive, you bring on long-term contracts. And we've seen where that's taken the Knicks, and hopefully that doesn't come to fruition other than, you know.
Would you include Damon Stoughton in the Melo offer to take back Chauncey Billups' contract?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen either. I would much rather just if they want to take back, and this is where you get into the sticky part. If you want to take back Al Harrington, for example, you know that's not a ridiculously bad contract. It's a lot of money for a lot of years, but the last couple of years aren't guaranteed, or they can be bought out 50% or whatever the case is. So that's not a terrible contract, and Donnie loves Harrington. So I think at the end of the day, what Denver wants is they want somebody. They can't just trade Melo. You have to be able to get something. Denver has to be able to give something else up with Carmelo to be able to make a deal. To me, that's what it's always been.
Do you think Denver can play out the season to see what they can do with Melo this year, and then after January 30th, sign and trade Melo for an Andrew Bynum? Do you think that's possible?
Kev, thanks for the call. I don't think that that's going to be something, again, from everything that I know and that I hear, regardless of what Melo said yesterday about possibly finishing the season in Denver and exploring things, I think he wants to get traded at the deadline. And I think at this point he wants to be a Knick, and the Knicks have to do a really sound job of making sure they get the right deal done. That's what we said since day one. Let's go to, you know, this is weird, 11, area code 111. You're on TKB Radio. Are you there? Area code 111. Going once. Going twice.
Hi, Tommy.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine. It's Rafa from Brazil. How are you, man?
Hey, what's up from Brazil? What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm fine. I'm looking for news about Melo and the Knicks, but I think it's not going to happen. I don't think the Knicks has the certain package to appeal to Denver, and he will be a Denver for life.
You think he's going to end up staying in Denver? Why do you think that?
Yes, I think.
Why would you say that?
Because the fact that Wilson Chandler and Anthony Randolph and Eddie Curry can't get Melo for you. And I don't think Walsh giving up on Melo and Fields, Gallo and Fields to get Melo. Although I think he should do it. What do you think?
I think the bottom line is, you know, what we said throughout this entire thing is that Carmelo Anthony wants to be a Knick. He wants to be a Knick as soon as possible, and he wants to be a Knick with the contract extension. Now, what that means to me is you have a lot of different wheels, different things in motion, if you will, because at the end of the day, Denver, we know the story. Denver has to be able to get back tangible value and what they want if they're going to be giving up their best player.
Did you read the Mark Stein article saying that Anthony is willing to sign with Nuggets if they didn't trade him?
Do you believe that?
Nope. I don't think, because no matter how big he's a star.
Let me get this. let me get this straight. What you're telling me is that you want me to read the article and then, well, which I did, but you don't believe it. That's weird.
I don't believe, because in the end of the day, he can get the max money before the next CBA is signed between the owners and the NBPA.
Sure.
He's a star. How a star won't be paid like a star in the NBA?
That's right. I agree. And thanks for calling in from Brazil. I agree with that 100%. People can do the numbers and get out the calculators and figure out the finances behind it. To me, it comes down to a very simple concept. There is no way that guys like LeBron James and Dwayne Wade are going to be making significantly more annual money and money over longer periods of time than Carmelo Anthony. It just can't happen. I totally agree with that 100%. And enjoy the warm weather in Brazil, certainly, because we ain't getting it up here. Send it up here if you could. Let's go to area code 347-627. You're on the Knicks Blog Radio. Go ahead.
How you doing? It's Dave from Brooklyn.
What's up, Dave from Brooklyn? How you feeling, bro?
Pretty good. Well, considering, you know. You know what? You know, a lot of people talk about, like, the specific things that, you know, the Knicks' problems are, whether it's size or anything. But I think something that's really underestimated is this consistency. Like, you look at the Boston Celtics, you know, Paul Pierce, he's bringing it every night. Ray Allen, for the most part, is bringing it every night. KG, every night. Rondo, every night. Or you look at Orlando, you got Dwight. You got Hedo coming every night. You got Ryan Anderson is playing well. You have all these really good teams have a bunch of players who bring it every single night. And the Knicks just don't have that. I mean, you have Amari who brings it every night. Felton is, I hate to say, but not every night is he on. He'll get his assists, but as far as scoring, he's not on every night. Wilson, definitely not. Even Gallo, I mean, he goes through stretches where he plays well like he's doing now, but then he can easily go on a four-game stretch where he scores 10 points a game, you know? So I think that's why, really, it is important to get Melo more than anything. I mean, I don't know. It's tough to see because, I mean, I've watched every single Knicks game, as I'm sure you have, and there's just been so many games that, yeah, we've been out-rebounding, but if we were just had consistent scoring throughout the whole game, if we didn't go through lulls of 5 minutes with 2 points or something like that, we would have easily won the game. And just the addition of another player who can give you scoring consistently, I think that would be, you know, make us such a much better team. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
You make great points, and thanks for calling in from Brooklyn. You know, to me, I look at the Magic. If you want to use the Magic as an example, a guy like Jason Richardson is a professional player. I mean, he's been in the league a long time. He understands the NBA. He understands how to pace himself, how to pace his body for being a playoff-tested player. You saw what he did last year in the playoffs. He was outstanding. Really, he's developed himself into a special player in this league in terms of figuring out how to control your body and have it ready for the playoffs. Raymond Felton doesn't know how to do that, or at least he's learning that. Gallinari for sure does not. Wilson Chandler does not. Landry Fields does not. Landry Fields is playing, I think he's already playing on borrowed minutes, you know, already based on the fact that, you know, in college he's already played more games than he played in college. You know, to me, what it comes down to is, especially when you talk about Orlando or a Boston or a Lakers or any of those teams that you say, quote unquote, bring it every night, they're not bringing it every night. They're bringing it about 90%. And then there's some nights where it's less than that. And then there's some nights when it's obviously much more than that. But what you have to understand about the NBA game, and I'm sure you do, is what wins in this league are playoff-tested players. I mean, guys who are just familiar and they understand what it means and what it takes to be strong at the end of the season during seven-game series and try to make a run, make a push through them. Raymond Felton has played one playoff series. You know, Amari understands what it takes to keep his body in shape, and he knows he wants to be playing much closer to June, certainly than April. You know, but that's a key point. I think sometimes, you know, when you look at the Celtics, Paul Pierce is playing at half speed, but he's just so good, and he's learned how to understand the game that it just makes his 50 or 60% on cruise control is much better than a guy in his second or third year, and I think that's another key point. When you talk about Chandler, and when you talk about Gallinari, certainly Fields, you know, I think Fields brings it every night. I'm not sure that's the right example. I think you're more in terms of Gallinari and Chandler. Again, to me, very, very young in their developmental stage and, you know, just in a situation where they have to learn how to get their bodies right, bodies in shape, and understand that comes with being a veteran. Jeff Van Gundy never wanted to play young players because of that reason. 646-478-5554, Tommy D, taking you up till, let's go to 2:30, man. This is fun. We got a lot of callers on the line. Let's go out to Long Island, 516-708, you're on the air. 516, going once. You there? 516 is not there. How about area code 347?
Okay, I'm going to finish.
Yo.
You're not going to have as much jump shooters. You sign a big man like a Sam Kirk, Dallas, but you play a more traditional lineup. You got Turkey in the center, Dallas by the center. Dallas by the power
Hello?
Yeah, you there?
Oh, wow.
What do you got? What do you got?
Hello?
I could barely catch that. Yeah, go ahead.
Wow, yeah, I didn't know I was on the line. My name's Eddie.
Yeah.
I'm calling from Queens.
What's up, Eddie?
Who's
from Queens?
Tommy?
How you doing, bro?
Yeah,
what's up, man?
Yeah, what's Donnie Washington doing, man? I mean, some of the comments he makes, I'm not going to gut the team. I'm happy with the core of the players. Blase, blase. It's really, to me, as a Knicks fan, it's sending me like a cryptic message because, one, I would feel if the trade is not completed, Dolan would eventually relieve Donnie of his duties, and then you know who's going to come back. And obviously, then we lose Carmelo. So then we're basically two-time losers in a sense. And I don't really want that to happen. I think Donnie's really overestimating this team more than it should be estimated. I mean, if they were in the Western Conference, they'd be a 10 seed right now. I mean,
what were your expectations going into the season in terms of number of wins?
44 and 38. 40, that was the exact record I predicted.
44,
yep.
44 and 38, I think, are reasonable. I think a little above what I would have considered. I would have considered 41 or 42. But 44 wins is still very, very attainable at this stage.
But
I mean, it's not like...
Here's the catch, though. I didn't think Carmelo would be I wouldn't say demonstrative, but I didn't think Carmelo would be this much available at this time of the year going into the season. I knew he wanted to come to the Knicks, but I thought perhaps maybe it could be held up till after the season. But then with the new collective bargaining agreement upon us I guess Denver is not as good as they probably would have liked to be. Now it's kind of putting more urgency to make a trade. But from, you know, when you listen to Stephen A. and a couple of these other analysts, they're saying the Knicks are reluctant, particularly Donnie's reluctant to add a Gallo or Fields. And these are good role players, Tommy. I mean, I don't want Gallo or Fields holding me back from getting Carmelo Anthony, a Brooklyn-born kid that wants to be here. You know, I mean,
well,
I'm really disappointed in Donnie in that sense.
I don't think you can be disappointed in Donnie at this point. I mean, the trade deadline hasn't happened yet. And
do you think he's
going to
add Donnie? I mean, do you think he'll add? I don't see him. You know, he seems like a very hard stance kind of person. Unless the Knicks lose these next three games against the Hawks, and I mean against the Hawks, the Lakers, and the Nets, I don't see it where Donnie's going to change his stance and, you know, basically take it or leave it. And that offer they're giving Denver, I mean, that's not a very substantial offer. Even you would agree.
I would totally agree, and I don't believe it, to be honest with you.
You don't believe it. Why is that?
I don't believe it because it's not close to a fair value trade. And I think anybody who would report it is thinking the fans are dumb, and that offends me because when you look at it, you say there's no question. Denver would not make that trade for the simple fact that if they're going to make a crappy trade, they might as well make a crappy trade later in the year and keep them for the rest of the year. So
right,
to me,
exactly.
again, what I'm saying with Walsh is he's playing it right. He knows that I would think he knows that Carmelo wants to be traded, and there's only one place that we've been over this 100 times. There's only one place he wants the extension. So now he's got to work out a situation where it's the right deal. And right now, for him, that would be the right deal. That would be an amazing deal. It's just not happening.
Let's just say if you're Donnie Walsh right now, who are you going to add on? Is it going to be Fields or Gallinari or both? With the Chandler.
I would, I would think Denver would want Fields over Gallinari because Chandler and Gallinari play the same position. Now, if they want Gallinari and Fields and mm-hmm. you keep Chandler, mm-hmm. you know, that's a tricky one as well. I don't know. I don't know if the Knicks would be super interested in getting rid of Gallinari and Fields with Randolph and some draft picks and cash considerations for Carmelo Anthony. That's a lot of the team.
Well,
that's a lot, Tommy,
you got to look at it like this, because if God forbid, if what Stephen A. is saying is true, the Bulls are a viable option. If the Bulls get Carmelo Anthony, then, I mean, the Knicks are going to be where they are for the next 5 years. I mean, it would seem like at least the next couple of years.
Do you believe the Bulls are a viable option?
If it gets desperate enough, if Denver doesn't find any suitable takers, yeah, with Taj Gibson and Luol and a couple of first-round picks, maybe they throw in Justin.
Luol?
Yeah, just, you know, yes.
Why would they want Luol's contract?
Wait, how many? 3 years and $40 million? How much was left? 3 years and about. Okay, I mean, in that sense, yeah, but
what's,
I mean.
What's Denver trying to do?
Save money.
What's Denver trying to do? Exactly.
Yeah,
so how are they going to bring in Luol Deng?
Okay, but then
that's
also
what I'm saying. It's like you got to add it up. I mean, to me, somebody says this, somebody says that, and I'm, you know, I guess I'm a somebody too to a degree. It doesn't make any sense.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Derrick Rose is not somebody. Thibodeau, they want to play defense. Clearly, Derrick Rose is an outstanding offensive player. And I think he wants to be that Dwayne Wade. He wants to be that superstar. He's one of the guys, one of the few guys in the NBA who's not concerned or you know, doesn't care about adding superstars around him because he thinks he's that good. And that's a fact. You know, I don't see Chicago being involved in this at all.
Okay, before I get off the phone, I know you have other callers. Going forward, then, I mean, is part of them reluctant, perhaps, or they're waiting till the All-Star break? Do they really think somebody's going to take Alex Harrington's contract back? I mean, I check the Knicks' salary because I go to Hoopsite, like most average fans. I go to Hoopsite, and I did the salary cap math. Even if the Knicks took on Al Harrington, they would still have about, $15 million come off the books. If they kept Gallo, they would be about $18 million. I mean, so they would still conceivably have enough money to go out and sign the Dwight Howard, the CP3, or the Ron Williams.
They have to keep, and thank you very much for the call, they have to keep salary cap space, to me, flexibility available. And again, when you're building a team, you would really love to not have a lot of big-time contracts that in 2 years you want to turn around and say, we need to get rid of this one because they're impossible to get rid of. As we saw in New York for a long time, you know, I think, you know, Layden and Isaiah, they basically just got to a point where they knew that they were never going to be under the cap. And with in Layden's initial run here, when Van Gundy was here, Van Gundy didn't want them to be under the cap. He wanted veteran players. He wanted the guys like, you know, Mark Jackson, and he wanted, you know, the Othella Harringtons, and you want to keep a Kurt Thomas, and, you know, these guys who make money because they have been in the league for a while. And of course, Layden then brought in the disastrous contracts of Shannon Anderson and Howard Eisley, who – frankly, were two very, very decent role-playing playoff players. They just weren't ready for prime time. They weren't ready for New York City. But I think moving forward with the Knicks, you have to be very, very leery of who you bring in a long-term contract. Carmelo Anthony is certainly not one of those people that you have to be super leery about. Let's go to area code 718-797. What's up? You're on Knicks Blog Radio. 718-797. Going once. Going twice. How about area code 347? What's going on here? 347. No? 0-2? How about area code 718-996? You're on the Knicks Blog Radio. What's happening?
Hello?
Hello, 718, what's up, bro? Who's this?
Tommy?
That's me.
Hey, how are you? It's Matt from Staten Island. I've called the show a couple of times. How you doing?
Yeah, how you been, Matt? How's 2011 treating you, bro?
not bad. With this whole Carmelo thing, you know, I really, you know, I just have something to say, and I hope, you know, you could take it, you know, and talk about it a little bit. But with this Carmelo Anthony situation, I still think that a lot of the media really just blowing it up. Like, they're using his words, like what he said yesterday, and, like, they just put their own twist to it, and they're just making such a big soap opera out of this. At the end, I feel this. At the end of the day, he does want to come to the New York Knicks, and it's obvious, and they're just throwing these other names out there, and, you know, and... You know, he had the Nets, nothing happened. You know, they all know that he wants to come to the Knicks. It's just when and, you know, how. And I think the cards are on the Denver side now. I think Donnie Walsh did a great job. He just, you know, he just gave them what he would give up. And Denver, I don't think Denver has come back with an alternative, like, you know, of, you know, oh, I want Gallinari in a deal, or I want this guy. I'm pretty sure if they came back and said that, you know, we want another guy besides Wilson Chandler, they'll give him that guy. I just don't think, I just think that Denver's just holding out a little bit.
I think Denver's doing the right thing. I think the Knicks are doing the right thing. I think for their own organization, I think, you know, what Denver needs to do, especially with a young front office, is that they cannot put themselves in a situation where, you know, they make a poor deal. And on the opposite side, it's the complete opposite. On the Knicks side, with the veteran front office, you know, who doesn't want to put themselves in a situation to make a bad deal either. So, you know, when you talk about what Denver's doing, I think they're being very patient. I think that's smart because, you know, I think they've heard from Melo's people over and over and over and over and over that he wants to trade and that he wants to be out. But he just – it has to work right for them. And I think as you get closer to the 24th, I think there's going to be much more intense dialogue. I think there's going to be much more, okay, let's just get in a room, get on the phone, and hammer this thing out to where everybody's happy. You know, that's what negotiations is all about. And I think, you know, when you go into a trade, I think fans don't really understand the significance and the importance of, you know, time. And a deal doesn't happen in one phone call. You know, you're not going to pick up the phone. Donnie's not going to pick up the phone and call Denver and say, hey, listen, okay, let's make this deal happen right now. It takes time. And I think that's the significance and the importance of Donnie Walsh versus a guy like Isaiah Thomas who came in. Scott Layden, this is actually, I think, pretty common knowledge. When Layden was here, he had the Marbury deal on the table, and he didn't pull the trigger on the Marbury deal because he didn't like Anthony Hardaway's contract, and it was going to keep them strapped for a long time. Isaiah Thomas came in the first day, his first order of business, you know, over a week or so, was to get that deal done. Yeah. That goes to show you that what it takes and what it goes into making a trade, and I think you're seeing that right now with these two teams who are Oregon's, you know, front offices are really you know, kind of at a stalemate.
Right, and I think I really do think that Donnie Walsh is a polished guy. He's been around the league a long time, and I really think that, you know, throughout this whole fiasco, what's going on, he has some type of idea of which way it's going to go. And that's why you don't hear something new like, oh, Knicks offer this and Knicks offer that, you know. I think he has pretty much an idea of what's going to happen, and he's just taking his time and trying to work out the best possible deal for the Knicks.
And you can't blame him for that, can you, Matt?
No, not at all, not at all. And you know what it is Knicks fans, I'm a diehard Knicks fan, they just want it to happen, like, overnight. Last night we lost, they're starting to scream Melo. You know, Knicks fans, they just want it to happen now, you know. And there's,
what'd
you know,
think about that? What'd you think about the we want Melo chance?
I think it hurt the Knicks, man. I think they hurt the Knicks because the guys that are going out to play there, they don't want to hear that. You know, I think it's hurting the Knicks, tell you the truth. I think they're going to, you know, it's not help. It didn't help out. You know, everybody knows what's going on. You don't need to scream Melo chance, you know, and, you know, when your team's out there, the five guys are playing and, you know, they're hearing it too, you know. It's not good for the team, you know. It's not. I personally think it's not good. I don't know.
Matt, thanks for calling and making your points. I agree 100%. We'll talk to you soon down the line. And, again, hope 2011 is treating you well.
Thanks, Tommy. Have a good one.
You guys, bro. Let's go to area code 718. 718-797. Let's try that one again. You're on the Knicks Blog Radio. This is Tommy D. Who's this? Nope. How about area code 347? Just called in a little while ago. 604. Strike two? Area code 347? How about area code 252.
Yeah, this is Quinn calling.
Who's this?
This is Quinn from North Carolina calling in.
What's up, man? How's everything down on Tobacco Road? You had a pretty decent game there last night, huh?
Yeah, we got a little bit of snow, nothing compared to New York or Texas. That's where I'm at right now. I mean, I actually live in Texas, but nothing compared to y'all.
that's a fact. That's a fact. Hopefully it's going to warm up a little bit. What happened down there? Was there some sort of basketball game down there or something last night?
I don't know, man. I don't keep up with it. I'm just here taking care of business, man.
So, I hear you, man.
I have a business out here. But regardless of Knicks, man, I was thinking about the way I kind of sits with me. It's like it's having a bad relationship. And Knicks, we've had as fans, we had such a bad relationship for the last, you know, almost say 9-10 years. And it's like meeting that new girlfriend. You're ready to score with her, and you're just on the cusp. And I think the Knicks fans are pushing it too much. I think Donnie Washington, they say in all the blogs and papers, he's a great poker person. He's holding his cards. He knows what he's got, and he's laying still. And I think the Knicks fans are just a little too impatient. They want to hurry up and get it, you know, get in bed with the new girlfriend, but you can't rush these things. And I think Donnie Washington is smart. You know, I thought coming in this year with Azubuike coming in and Roger Mason, I thought these were going to be key contributors. But my only concern about it is that, you know, I'm wondering if I don't know how Azubuike is going to return as far as knee is concerned. And I think if they can lay low and actually keep him to have a lineup of, you know, obviously Mozgov is playing great with Chandler and Carmelo, still have Danilo, Azubuike, and then you still have Felton, I think that adds up for an excellent lineup. So I think Walsh is just trying to play low-key. It's going to be a matter of wits. The deal will, in my humble opinion, the deal will get done before the deadline just because Denver knows they're not going to get anything. And then Knicks also know, too, and y'all might be able to clarify this, the Knicks can't get a deal done with a Curry expiring contract because of how it plays out. So I think if Knicks will make a move, we might end up giving up Landry Fields and Randolph, Curry, and a Wilson Chandler. That's what I see happening because we have to make a move, but the Knicks need to be patient like Donnie Walsh and just let it sit and happen. But the fans just need to lay back, and I think that's the biggest problem. They won't lay back yet, you know?
Thanks for the call. We'll keep holding it down in Tobacco Road. And I agree with that 100%. I think what you're seeing right now is you're just kind of seeing some toggling back and forth. And then the Knicks, I believe, eventually will give up. They'll give up pieces, but it has to be the right number of pieces. And that's, to me, where you have to kind of draw a line in the sand on February 10th. And say, and I like the analogy right around Valentine's Day of trying to get to bed with a new girlfriend. It takes time. It takes at least, you know, somebody that you care about. If it's not somebody you care about, you know, I'm married, so I can't really speak to that. But, you know, back in the old days, if you didn't care about it, you try to make it happen as fast as possible. But I think a guy in Azubuike, who you mentioned a couple times, got a chance to see him a few times in practice and certainly in training camp when he wasn't really doing a lot. You know, his lateral movement isn't there, and you know, to me, is it, you know, are they saving him for the opportunity to play, you know, towards the end of the season if they make a deal and they have holes in their roster and then have him be 100% healthy? I can see that being the case. I think a lot of people have dismissed the fact that he may play, and I have not. I think that there's a chance he could play. I don't think it's anytime soon, but no, it makes a lot of sense that the caller brought up is. You know, if they go through the deals and they still have the Roger Masons and they still have the Azubuikes, you know, those are guys who are relative contributors and you have to make sure that Azubuike is 100% healthy. I mean, I think Kendrick Perkins had a very similar injury and he's made it back. So I think they may just be using Azubuike kind of laying in the weeds either as a trade piece or somebody, you know, if they need to add depth and they have somebody who can be productive, you know, down the stretch, then they'll have fresh legs and hopefully his will be 100% healthy. And again, I apologize for the quack noises in the background. I'm on my droid and just like that one. I got to time it. Like, if you remember Imus in the morning when he used to say the time and then he would, you know, would go whack, whack. I need to time it right, but that just tells me I got new tweets. And you've heard it 50 or 60 times already, so you can imagine how many tweets I get during the course of the day. So let's go back out to the callers. How about area code 718-664? You're on the Knicks Blog Radio. Not yet. Are you there?
Hello?
Hey, area code 718. Who's this?
It's John. Yeah. How are you?
Joe, what's up, John? How you doing, man? Tommy D, nice to meet you.
I'm doing good, babe. How are you? Look, we're from Brooklyn. We're calling you in from the office. Donnie Walsh has to trade whoever he needs to trade to bring Melo to the Knicks. That's the bottom line, whichever way you slice it.
When? When is that?
By the trade deadline. By the trade deadline.
So you're okay with the timetable. You're okay with him taking his time, and you're equally okay with, say, giving up Gallinari, Fields, Chandler, Randolph, Eddie Curry, draft pick.
Not a problem. Take it. Melo's he's a top-tier player. They don't just grow on trees in your backyard, you know?
Listen, I think that's true. I think you also have to make sure that you don't have nothing left in the cabinet. I think for sure if they make – and I think this is an important point, and I agree with you in the fact that you have to be able to go out and get a star player when they're available, because they're not available very often. I will say that if they make that one-sided of a trade from their standpoint in terms of number of players, then they're going to get back other players. They'll get back other values. So, you know, if you give up all that, then you're going to have to give back – you're going to have to get back – you know, something else, something up front, something.
Maybe
you know,
they could throw what's the kid's name? Aflalo from the Nuggets.
Aaron Aflalo, yeah, one of TKB favorites. He's up there with Randy Foy.
Listen, if we had to take back Harrington's contract, so be it. He played well under Mike D'Antoni. I wouldn't mind that. Plus, if I'm not mistaken, his contract will be off the books by the time CP3 as well as DeRon Williams comes out, as well as Dwight Howard for 2012.
Well, if that's the case, then, you know, what you're looking at is, and we all know how much Donnie Walsh loves Al Harrington. I heard a story where he basically said, you know,
he's drafted him over there in Philly, not in Philly, with the Pacers, correct?
That's correct. And what, I got a chance to talk to Al on Media Day last year, and we were just talking a lot about, you know, the relationship and stuff. And, you know, he's a huge fan. He wanted to stay here. He wanted to be here. And, you know, listen, I don't know if there's – it could be a connection of why he ended up signing with Denver. But that, you know, I may be reading into that a little bit too much. But I know that –
you're speculating like me. But I understand where you're going with this for sure. You know, give us back Balkman, Harrington, and Melo. Take those three. Get your pick for Randolph that Donnie Walsh, the gangster of the NBA, says he has in his back pocket, and let's make it happen.
Hey, listen, if that's the case, when you look at Harrington, you're talking about 6, 12, 13, 20, 27, about $28 million. Apparently, I think, and I could be wrong on this, and I should be more well-versed on this one, but I think the last 2 years can be bought out for 50%. That's a long-term contract. It's not a terrible, terrible contract, but you have to figure out the CBA. You know, this is what you're going to have to kind of figure out moving forward. Is this going to be a salary that's going to really hurt you? But if you give up, you know, Gallinari and Chandler and Fields, those three, then you're going to have to fill spots, you know, there with a guy like Al Harrington, who, and a quick story that I had was basically when Donnie was first hired here, I think Al Harrington saw him. And thank you very much for the phone call from Brooklyn. He saw him on the street and said, you know, I want to play for you again. And that was that. He ended up trading Jamal Crawford in what was a big deal in getting rid of salary cap a year off the cap with Crawford's contract. And we all know what ended up happening in the summer of 2011. Let's go back to the phone lines. How about area code 718? 269.
Hello?
On the Next Block Radio. 718. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on? This is KV from Queens.
KV from Queens. What's up, man? How you doing?
Yeah, I'm chilling. I just wanted to say, like, as far as the whole thing, I think that the reason why the Knicks are basically in this predicament now is because they didn't really expect and they didn't plan for this to happen, like players pushing trades and the big three and all of that. So that kind of left, because all we planned for was the salary cap thing. Like, okay, we cleared enough space for this year, for next year, and for 2012, we know we can afford to be max players. And that's how they handled it, you know? And I think that kind of, like, the whole David Lee trade is what really kind of messed us up, because with David Lee, honestly, as a Knicks fan, I was expecting them to bring back at least one serious piece. It's crazy that Ronnie Torioff is like the best piece that we got out of that trade, and he's just a good defensive player. We need him, but it's like, man, come on. Ronnie Torioff out of three players, that's the best piece that he did.
I mean, there is a 21-year-old very athletic young player who was everybody was extremely, including myself, extremely high on. He just doesn't fit the style. He doesn't fit the system, and that's basically why he hasn't been getting minutes initially. And he's always been. I think what you need to understand about Walsh is that he's always one or two steps ahead of it when you're talking about moves. So the Lee move, you know, Monta Ellis, to me, if that is even true, I'm not sure if that's necessarily the case, whether it was a David Lee straight up for Monta Ellis. I don't know if that's true. I can't say that that's true. I like Monta Ellis. I don't like his contract. If you bring in Monta Ellis, then you have to really do the numbers and have very, very flexible, you wouldn't have much flexibility, but you also have to have flexible young players, which they do have in Gallinari and Chandler. So to have Ellis, you know, you're talking about Gallinari, Chandler, with the hopes of getting Melo.
I mean, we could have went after anybody for Ellis. Anybody besides Ellis. It wasn't necessary for us to even deal with Golden State. I just think that they tried to accommodate David Lee to a degree because of the work that he put in here, which he deserved it, but it still was better teams that was looking at David Lee, like Orlando. You understand what I'm saying? It was other teams and other options that we could have got, and we could have got back a contract like a Tayshaun Prince who's going to be off the books this year. Anything, like, it could have been anything. It could have been anything besides what we have right now.
That's where it gets tricky, is that it wouldn't necessarily have to be anything when you consider to consider the matching the money. But yeah, Tayshaun Prince isn't, you know, it's an interesting one, but you know, you were fully loaded at the three position, which is what Prince is. You know, when you have Gallinari and you have Chandler, you know, you're gonna give those guys the majority of the minutes and not bring in another three. But I think you're 100% right about taking care of David Lee, because he was a good player here, and a very good player here who simply wanted to get paid. And that's another point we talk about. This is on Hoops World. Hoops World had this the other day, and I actually heard this to be true, is that Donnie Walsh wants to take care of the players. So, in other words, you know, Nate was in D'Antoni's doghouse, and Nate had a problem, and he does this all the time. He calls, you know, okay, call around the league, say who's interested in Nate Robinson, and, you know, a handful of teams, one being the Celtics. He brings Nate in. He says, you know, where do you want to go? And obviously Nate says, I want to go to Boston. So that's Donnie Walsh. That's Donnie Walsh, the man. That's Donnie Walsh, the executive, and you know, a class guy through and through. And you just got to hope that he gets the extension if they can continue to progress. And I think the first thing that needs to be done with that is the Carmelo stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly how they plan to get Carmelo over here right now without giving up the world for him. But what I can say is that, I mean, I know Donnie Walsh is a good businessman, and I respect his hand. The hard part about dealing with the situation is dealing with D'Antoni, really. Like, I think D'Antoni is a decent coach, but it's just, he's not the one. He's not.
And thank you very much for the phone call, for sure. I appreciate it. D'Antoni is a whole nother can of worms, and trust me, if and when this Melo deal goes down, that will be the, by far, 100%, the only thing that I'll be talking to people about for the rest of the season and beyond, because a very polarizing figure, especially now if they lose to the Lakers, they'll be back at 500, kind of where a lot of us thought they'd be, but, you know, this is a difficult stretch in the season. If they can get to the All-Star break around 500, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think that's a pretty good thing, actually. But we know for a fact we're going to be talking a lot about Mike D'Antoni if and when this Carmelo situation goes down. Let's go back to the phones. Area code 212-827. What's up? You're on the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hey, Tommy. What's going on? How you doing? This is Mike from Midtown Manhattan.
Mike from Midtown, Triple M. What's up, man? Mike from Midtown Manhattan.
Got a couple of quick questions, man. First question is, Carmelo just came out and said that he would seriously consider re-signing with Denver. or if he doesn't get traded. Do you think that's just a smokescreen, or do you think there's some legitimacy to that?
Well, I think I don't necessarily. To be honest with you, no, I don't believe it. I don't believe that he would consider. When you look at what Denver has, and frankly, I think this is a key point, one that I've talked about a lot. What has Denver done this year, or at least what rumors has Denver had that don't include Melo, in terms of helping them make a huge push towards the playoffs? And beyond. I mean, they were fourth seed in the NBA in the Western Conference last year in the NBA playoffs. They ran into a very difficult matchup with the Jazz. They didn't beat the Jazz. You know, we understand that. They bring in Al Harrington, but what else have they shown Carmelo, or they talked about? Okay, let's just say in the event that Carmelo stays, we're going to trade Ty Lawson for this guy, or we're going to do follow and this guy for that guy. I just don't hear that. And I think that's a very telling sign when you're talking about the future of Melo in Denver.
Yeah, my second question is it me or does Raymond Felton starting to look more and more like Chris Duhon? And the reason why I'm saying that is that it seems like now 80 to 85% of his passes are to Amari Stoudemire, whereas last year Duhon's passes majority was to David Lee. And it doesn't seem like Felton is moving the ball and getting the best out of the other players. And it just seems that Felton has hit some type of wall or something. He's scoring a few points, but to me he is not getting the whole team involved. And I don't think he's running the show, running the program, you know, the way he should be. I mean, a good case in point was last night.
When I watch Felton, I see a guy. It's been a tale of two seasons. I think there's definitely some lingering after effects on that high ankle sprain that he had. He was certainly not healthy. Tony Douglas wasn't healthy for a while too. The Knicks have and Stoudemire certainly just was a little nicked up a little while ago. They're not 100% healthy. We know Gallinari was out. Chandler's calf as well. Not 100% healthy. And to me, when I look at Felton, he just doesn't get deep enough into the defenses to draw attention and to kick
right
out to those wide open guys. And that's
right.
You know, when he can do it, and when he does do it, they're impossible to stop. He just doesn't do it consistently enough. That being said, no, I can't. You know, I see the analogy with Duhon and Lee, but to me, Felton is a far, far better player than Duhon. But yeah, there's some similarities. You know, playing the first year, Duhon had a huge start, and then he kind of blew a tire and kind of fizzled down the stretch. Let's just hope that doesn't happen to Raymond Felton. But I agree with you 100%, Mike, and thank you very much for the phone call. He really needs to be able to get further into the defense. You know, and you hate using the Nash comparisons, but when you used to watch Nash, the guy would, you know, he'd tiptoe the baseline. I mean, he would get so far into the defense that he could actually get behind the defense and always find an open man after that. So Felton needs to draw more attention from the defense. He's not doing that. And it's affecting the Knicks play right now. Let's go back to the phone lines. Area code 347-604. You're on the air, the Knicks Blog Radio. Area code 347. Going once, going twice. Let's go back to another area code 347-296. You're on the Knicks Blog Radio. You there? Area code 347. Going once, going tight twice. Area code 718. Area code 718. 797, you're on the air. Oh, three in a row. You there? Oh, I can hear somebody. Area code 718. All right, phone lines are open. If you're listening, give us a buzz, 646-478-5554. Let's give one more shot to area code 252. Nope. All right, anyway, a lot of great topics and certain things that need to be addressed. You know, if the Knicks, one caller from Brooklyn did a great job in saying that, I'll give up whatever it is, whatever I can to bring Carmelo to New York. And I think that's a valid argument. Because they don't always, the stars, you know, they just don't always become available. The question becomes, now instead of, you know, taking back two players or you know, three players, you know, you have to, if you're giving away four or five, you're going to have to bring back to kind of balance out the roster and fit needs. You're not just going to give up 100 players for one player in Melo. So is it Al Harrington's contract that's going to come back? Is it an Aaron Aflalo? Is it, you know, is it a third team to get involved? You know, that to me is the question, and it's a great question. And I think, you know, when you look at the last deal, when you look at the last rumored deal with the Pistons, the Nets, you know, this team, that team, and then obviously Denver, you're talking about 14 or 15 guys, you know, changing places. That's a monster trade. So you obviously know, and that's what kind of got me very leery about the Broussard comment or report about you know, talking about a pretty simple, basic three-way trade, which, you know, if we've known anything from the beginning here, there's nothing simple or basic about prying Melo from Denver. All right, back to the phone lines we go. Area code 252. You're on the air, 252. KnicksBlog.com.
Yes, this is Quinn again. This is Quinn again, St. Luke Carly. I had another question for you.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, man. From Carolina. Hello. Go ahead.
In your opinion, do you think the Miami Heat are going to win a championship, whether this year or next year, with their current roster? Because that's going to open up to the next question.
I would say not this year. I would say most definitely next year. I think they need a year to figure it out. They need a year to figure it out. They need a year to tweak and get those kind of players that we talked about earlier, those kind of playoffs. Tested players that are going to be, you know, more on the cheap end. I know they've got a ton of them already, but and certainly Miller, you know, Mike Miller's health is important, and that's, you know, something that really adds to them being much, much better than they've already been, which is kind of amazing to think. But to answer the original question, I would say not this year, but next year.
The reason why I ask that is because, if you know, what all some listening to some of these fans about, just, you know, saying trade in the farm for Melo, how is it any different from what Miami's doing? You get three, you know, potentially four good players, but my reason why I don't think the Heat are going to win either this year or next year is because they have no bench. If you look at any substantial team that's won the championship, whether it's the Spurs, the Lakers, the Boston Celtics, they had a bench accompanying the stars, and Heat don't have that. And I think if you have a team like even Boston, Orlando, I think in the 7-game series, Miami gets beat. So I don't think, you know, in my opinion, the Knicks going for, you know, trading the farm for that, I don't think it's a good idea. And even with Aaron Brooks, I've heard rumors about Aaron Brooks. How is Aaron Brooks any different from Tony Douglas? Yes, he can get to the hole, but we're looking for another distributor. Do you think Aaron Brooks would be, in your opinion, you think Aaron Brooks would be a good guy to go after? I don't see it, though, you know.
I think Brooks is a better version than Nate, myself, you know, somebody who can dominate the ball and control the ball and score. You know, he's got a very gifted ability to score, but, you know, in this system, we know that guys who handle the ball, that's just, if you over dribble in this system, then it's not overly effective.
Right.
And if you look to shoot first, it's certainly not going to be as effective either. I like Brooks. I think Brooks is an energy guy, can definitely come in off the bench and score. I think that's a need that, you know, the Knicks lack occasionally when, you know, the second unit isn't playing well. You know, he can kind of energize and make plays. It all depends what you have to give up.
Right. Okay. Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for calling again. And, you know, that's to me, when you talk about, you know, you can talk about a lot of flaws and tendencies, and there are, of course, there's going to be a lot of flaws in a team that is only really in the neighborhood of 500. You know, so is it defense? Is it perimeter defense? You know, to me, some nights it's, you know, they can't do anything right. They can't do anything, you know, wrong certain games as well. Last night was a game that you could just tell from the get-go there was going to be no defense. You know, the Clippers were going to come in after getting worked down in Orlando. They got some rest, you know, during the game, but they didn't have the rest when they were traveling. And they come into New York, and then the next thing you know, everybody's dunking it. And finally, the Knicks controlled, semi-controlled it around the rim. And then, you know, every time they tried to make a run, Randy Foy was there to silence it. But, you know, that's a game you got to win. And I think what's most staggering is just how poorly the Knicks have been at home. And when you think about the losses to, you know, Phoenix is a team they should beat. But, you know, at the same time, you look at Phoenix, you know, in the Western Conference, they're probably the exact same team as the Knicks. So having them split throughout the course of the season is not, you know, it's not out of the question. You know, having the Knicks go into Phoenix and getting a win there is, you know, to me is a good one on the ledger to have. You know, they've played well on the road. They've won a lot of games on the road, but I can't believe how poorly they've played in front of the Garden crowd. And, you know, and I think a lot of people who go to a lot of games will tell you, and it's not just this year, I would say more so over the course of the last, you know, 10 years, the Garden crowd is always like a conglomeration of a lot of different people, a lot of people who are there for the first time, a lot of people who are there for the first time this season, you know, a lot of people who are frustrated, a lot of people who, you know, are super duper, you know, they want to be excited, they want, you know, the place to rock, and they want the Knicks to play well, and when they don't, you get the opposite reaction. So it's a very strange place to me from a vibe standpoint. I mean, Miami was out of control, fantastic, obviously, because they came back and won. Very indifferent for the first three and a half quarters or three quarters, you know, and there were actually a lot of Heat fans, which was relatively surprising, but of course you're always going to get that. 646-478-5554, we got some open lines. We got it's about 28 minutes to go. I know probably everybody's got to go back to work now, they're listening to Francesa. I can't blame you. But if you want to chat, Knicks, I'm here. Let's go to the phones. Area code 718. You're on the air, Knicks Blog Radio. 718. Area code 718 is not there. We got another one of these 111s. You there? Area code 111. We got to figure out what that is. Area code 347. 347. 604, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, what's up, PT? This is LJ from Brooklyn.
Yo, what's up?
I got a couple of questions. What I'm thinking about with the Knicks is that it seems to me like the media and everything, well, this goes back to years, like when it comes to a superstar player, it's never a clean cut and dry thing. It's always controversy with us. And I want to know, why is the case when it's New York where it's never something that it has to be a whole drama-filled thing?
Because it's the drama capital of the world. I mean, it's anytime you get
a Knicks
ball. But
it seems like
ball,
it's not even New York. The fans love our team, but it seems like the outside and the media, ESPN, it's everybody's against us being a good team again since the days of Patrick Ewing. Like after that run left, it's like they don't want I could foresee the run coming again, but it's just so hard to watch all these people just put, you know, holes in everything for us to get back on track again.
I can't. I 100% agree. And you know, to me, I'm curious as to why, you know, from an editorial standpoint, ESPN, you know, I do feel like there's a negative sentiment against the Knicks. I don't know if that's because of the owner. I don't know if that's because, you know, it's a competitive network. You don't want a localized regional network, you know, beating a national network, a huge empire like ESPN is. MSG certainly has a lot of content, a lot of decent content, and it goes against ESPN. They compete, and ESPN doesn't win in New York in a lot of ways with MSG. So I don't know. Maybe that's digging a little too deep into it, but I tend to do that, and I actually like to talk about that type of stuff. But they have the NBA ratings, so you would hope that – or they have the NBA contracts, so you would hope that they would want the Knicks to be good for their own business sake. But I think, you know, look at it this way. If you remember last year at the All-Star game when the Amari Stoudemire rumors were going down, you remember when – it was, is he going to Cleveland? Is that going to cause LeBron to stay? You know, that was a big deal. That isn't half the big deal that this Melo situation has been, and it's only going to get much bigger as we get closer.
And another thing, Now, with the team constructor, that's how we have it already. Now, our main goal 2 years ago was to get underneath the cap so we could sign for 2010 and 2011 with free agents so we could get some plays in here and rebuilding it. Now, we already have one piece in Omari. Now, we already, as a fan, I could say that I know that we're not winning the championship this year. Now, the whole goal of us is building back up to a team that can contend for a couple of years with the players that we just signed as Omari and Raymond Felton, but Omari's the longer term. Now, with the team that we have, I don't know if our fans are pushing so much like if we get Carmelo, we're going to be in the championship this year. Like, it takes time to build a team. Like, I want to see a good team for numerous occasions, not for 1 or 2 years or 1 year, and then they're free agents, or the players that we have on the team is free agents again because we had bloated contracts or we did a wrong trade. Now, I'd rather the team that we have. Now, if we could get Carmelo without giving up the pieces, I think this is something to build on. I could, as a fan, I can enjoy watching this for numerous years, for numerous seasons.
Listen, and I think if they bring in Melo, you make a great point. I think if they bring in Melo, they don't necessarily become a championship contending team. I don't think they're going to be as good as Boston. I don't think they'd be as good as L.A. And I think when you look at those teams, or the Spurs, I think when a team that people often forget about, when you look at that, those type of teams, you need the front lines, you need size up front, you need to get huge clutch rebounds. And, that's that. People can say, and people may say that I'm a D'Antoni defender. I'm certainly not. And at the end of the day, what I was saying over the last couple of years was I'd like to see him be given the opportunity to coach and to be given a good team. And
yeah,
right now they are a good team. They're not a great team. Would a coach like Avery Johnson take this team to, 50 wins? Absolutely not. Would Rick Carlisle take this team to 50 wins as what they have right now? Absolutely not. I mean, if they win 44 games, I would say that that's exceeding expectations and that D'Antoni's done a very good job. If they make the playoffs and maybe win one or two games in the playoffs, I think that's a very, very good season. I think that's exactly what they, fans don't want to hear that. But to your point, this is not a championship team. They are building something, and it takes really one piece at a time.
Yes, and I feel as the Knicks, I know if it's me, is similar to the Nets. Well, Omari, when he come in with this team, it's similar when Jason Kidd came in with the Nets, and the Nets turned around. I mean, they turned around pretty quick that year because they went to the finals the first year, didn't they? With Jason
Kidd. They had, you know who they had. I mean, they had a number one overall draft pick and
Kenyon Martin.
They had some pieces there. And one player, a player like Jason Kidd, and that was always kind of the argument that a lot of people were talking about, myself included, about the Nets being involved. It's, Jason Kidd is probably the second or third best point guard of this era, of this generation.
Mm-hmm.
People want to talk about Paul. They want to talk about Darren Williams, and we know how good Nash is. Jason Kidd is a phenomenal point guard. He's a phenomenal, phenomenal player who nobody talks about, to me, because he played his best years in New Jersey.
Yeah, and that's crazy. Okay, Tommy, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thanks for making a lot of great points, and we appreciate you giving us a ring. Go back to the phone lines. We have two area codes, 718. Maybe you guys are just listening to the show, but if you want to contribute, 718-559. Go after it.
How you doing? Hello?
What's up, bro? Yeah, hey. Who's this?
Keith from Brooklyn.
What's up, man?
I was looking at listening to, all the news and media about this Carmelo Anthony thing, and I just was looking at how Donnie Walsh is, what his work is doing. He's doing a very good job. I think as for the fan, we just need to sit tight because there's so many pieces to this that's going on. I mean, if it happens, it happens. And I'm looking at the fact that, okay, if we get Carmelo Anthony, he had to give up the farm or most of the farm, which he doesn't want to do. You got some pieces. Who's to say in training, Andy Rollins is going to be a filler just in case we have to get rid of someone like Fields? Fields was like, you know, we didn't expect that he was going to blow up like this, you know. We didn't expect that we had that the point guard to blow up coming from the Bobcats. So, you know, you got to look at the fact that we didn't expect all this. And when we got it, we're like, wow, we're surprised. So if we have to, if the last minute of the of this, what you want to call trade, comes down, and we have to give up a lot, everybody says, oh, dude, we have to give. Think of what you could still have. You, as a Bookie, still, you know, bending, and he could be a breakout once he's become fully healed. You've got Eddie Rodgers, who's probably been practicing hard. We don't see that. We don't know that. He's been sitting on the bench. But who knows? If his time comes, he can break out, just like Mozgov. So I think, you know, when you look at the future and then having smaller pieces, it's almost like a thing that they like Miami doing. Miami got three big players, and now they got complementary pieces that are cheap. You can do the same thing with this team. As a matter of fact, if you have to give up somebody like Chandler or even Fields, hey, you go to development, you get Patrick Jr. to come back. You know, these are things that, you know, people don't really think about. And when they do, use D'Antoni's system, and there you go, break out. Because D'Antoni has a way, the positive part is, to take players and enhance their abilities beyond our expectations. And I think this is what probably is going to happen. So I'm going to sit tight and just, you know, watch what's going to go on. If it happens, it happens. If it don't, you know, it don't. But it doesn't mean that we're going to go three steps back. Everybody's blowing everything up and criticizing what they're doing. And when they're doing good, they want to criticize positive. If they're doing bad, they want to have them out and fired.
Well, that's New York, isn't it, in a lot of ways? And, and for me, you make a lot of great points, and certainly appreciate the call. And probably one of the first people in a long time who sound overly positive about D'Antoni, and you know, that's interesting to get that side of it as well. I continue to kind of stay in the middle because I want to see what happens in the playoffs. I want to see how guys do develop in the playoffs. And, you know, when you talk about giving up the farm, again, you go back to a very simple point, and that's, listen, you have to make the right deal. And we know when LeBron decided to go to Miami with Chris Bosh, that changed the landscape of the league. And it started with the KG trade, followed by the Gasol trade, which were kind of, you know, wink wink, elbow nudge nudge deals. You know, unfortunately for the Knicks, there aren't any of those. So as it relates to Carmelo, they're gonna have to spend. The question is just how much and how willing are they to do that. Go back to the phone line, area code 718-797. Knicks Blog Radio.
Hello?
What's up? Hey.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Who's
Tommy?
Who's this?
All right, I was just calling for a few points. I'm a season ticket holder in the 300 section, and things that some people, you see it posted, but what do you think of acquiring Carmelo would do for ticket prices?
Because
in the 300 section, you know, you can sell a game for 150 or any section just in general, but the average for me was about 70. But I was just out of curiosity, from your experience in the past, what do you think that would do?
Yeah, I think I think it would almost be like the Heat game every night for a good stretch, as long as they play well. You know, I think back to the game last year, Tracy McGrady's first game, and nobody expected anything from Tracy McGrady. They happened to be playing Kevin Durant, but Tracy McGrady was so good that night, and that, I know you were there. That energy and that electricity was so ridiculous last year. People, I walked around the garden, you know, to the shops and the, you know, where you can get the merchandise, and the place was packed. I mean, it was just filled with people who were just excited and excited and excited. I don't know if it was maybe because they felt that, okay, now we made the deal and, you know, LeBron's going to be coming here, or, you know, just the fact that Tracy McGrady's star power and Kevin Durant's star power, you know, took it to another level. But I would venture to guess that in the first couple of weeks, as long as they were winning, that vibe and energy would be ridiculous, and then it would just continue right into the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. Because it's interesting. Because really, I'm a second year ticket holder, and just to see the what happens to ticket prices for simple things like McGrady or Amari's a big deal, but he's only one player. I don't think the Knicks really, since the 70s, had two players of this caliber. If they get Carmelo Anthony, what it would do to the aura and ticket prices, but I guess you got to see.
Yeah. No, I think it's spot on, especially for those, you know, who remember the 70s teams and even those who remember Bernard King and when Ewing first got here. You know, a lot of those people are the ticket holders. So I think that would be, you know, I'll ask you straight away. I mean, that would get you excited. I mean, you'd much rather be going to the game than selling them, I would imagine.
Yeah, depends. but, you know, I sold a couple to make the little money back, you know, to offset the price with I went to one Miami game, sold the other, sold the Laker game because, you know, I mean, realistically, are they going to win? I would love to see Kobe, but to sit there and lose by 20, it's better to see a win than to see a loss by 20 and see a star to me. But also, do you think D'Antoni coaches pass this year if they acquire Carmelo and then flop in the first round?
Oh, great question. I think there would have to be a serious evaluation. I think he would come back. I don't think there would be an extension. I think he would come back, and you basically have to judge him. To me, you got to judge him on a full season with Melo. To be fair, you know, if they flop in the playoffs, they come back the next year, and you know, I would give him, you know, 40 or so games the next season to see where they're at. And so to answer your question, yeah, I think D'Antoni has been through enough and has dealt with enough stress and has been a good soldier over the last couple of years that if they do make the playoffs, I would expect him to be back next year. But then the real evaluation starts on, you know, is this guy a championship level coach?
I agree, because with me, sometimes I could be telling my friends, we have a discussion, I love him, and then the next game you hate him. So it's sort of like you stuck in the middle. But I think if they obtain him and they lose in the first round or maybe make it to the second but get swept or win one game, I think it's fair maybe to give him a half a season next year. And if they're subpar then, I think a flop this year and subpar first half next year, I think – a change could be made, but I think I'm with you with giving them at least till half of next year or season, whenever that will be. And do you think with the last thing with the whole LeBron James thing, you know, he has a right to do whatever he pleases, obviously, but I think, and he knew the ramifications of his actions, but what upset me is I wouldn't mind I'm a New York fan, obviously, if he came here, if he went to Chicago. Those are my two thoughts of where he was going, either New York or Chicago, because it kept the competitiveness of the league together. But is a championship even possible for New York without getting Melo, Amari, and Chris Paul? I don't see it even possible in the next 5 years with Miami the way they are. It's really Melo, Paul, and Amari or bust.
That's 100% and great points, and thank you very much for the phone call. I agree completely. I agree to the extent that, you know, they've cornered the market in Miami so much that you have to bring in Melo and hope for either Williams or Paul, you know, to kind of have that big three. Again, does that dive into your bench? Does that hurt? Yes. So, you know, maybe you live with the two and you try to build, but, you know, if the idea is to get Melo and Paul down the line, then you have to, you can't sneeze at that, and you just have to hope that you draft well, and you hope that you don't have to. The thing with Miami, they've given up so many draft picks that they don't have a chance to bring in any good young players unless they trade the player for a draft pick. I mean, obviously there's always a chance, but they've given up a lot of draft picks, and, you know, sure, they can go in and buy at the end of the first round like the Knicks have been doing, you know, but you have to really be able to develop and cultivate young players if you're going to have three star players on there. Let's go back to the phones. How about area code 702? Where on earth is 702, brother?
Oh, man, it's Ed in Las Vegas, man. You don't know Las Vegas area code?
No, man, never been out there. I do now, though. I do now. I don't mean to insult you, bro. How you doing, right?
No, you all right. Yeah, you. Hey, man, listen. I ain't no fan of nobody, really, because I gamble. I bet on the games. But listen, if you're a real fan of the Knicks, just relax. Carmelo Anthony gonna come to New York. Chris Paul coming when he's a free agent. Don't trade nothing. Don't get rid of Gallinaro and all these other kids you got. Keep them fools together. Do what you got to do. You're not going to win the title the first year you get him anyway, and you ain't won in a long time, so just relax and enjoy the ride. Because this year, if you get Carmelo Anthony anyway, what's going to happen? You're going to lose first-round playoff. Then everybody's going to be like, oh, this sucks. Ah, and you know how New York is. New York is going crazy. So just relax. Mm-hmm. Wait till the man comes. You probably do need to get you a good coach because, you know, D'Antoni, he not strong enough to get somebody to where they got to be. But even if you do get Paul and Stoudemire and Carmelo Anthony, there ain't a good chance that you're going to ever win anyway. You had Ewing for all the years. Things is just hard. If you get to the Eastern Conference Finals, be happy about it. You might get to the NBA Finals one time, but that's just, I mean, these people got unrealistic expectations. And you know, I know New York, they big city and all that, but listen, there's other things in the world besides it. That's what I'm saying about it.
I'm with you, man. No, I appreciate it. And to me, I'm not sure that Melo wants to be in Denver until the rest of the year. I think he wants to get traded and he wants to get the extension. I think if he had his perfect best case scenario, he'd be in New York with the extension and be playing in the playoffs with them this year. And you know, so that's where the be patient stuff. You know, there's nobody more patient about it than Donnie Walsh. And there's, to be honest with you, from a writing perspective, with our site. You know, I get very, very, I'm very patient. In fact, maybe to a fault, at least some people. But I think, again, at the end of the day, I think Melo wants the extension. He wants to be in New York, and he wants to be playing playoff basketball in the spring. It's just a matter of when is that going to happen and who they're going to have to give up.
Yeah, they don't got to give up nobody, man. Don't do craziness. Keep your team together. Don't do no foolishness, because when you do foolishness, then you're going to be stuck with these guys and not have no bench like Miami. It's going to take Miami a couple years. Miami ain't winning this year. They not going to win
agree.
This year. You know, you got to
I think next year they got to. And thank you very much for the call and hold it down in the desert out there. And I've literally I've never been to Vegas, and I'm actually kind of afraid of Vegas because I've spent some time in New Orleans. And if Vegas is any crazier than New Orleans, then I don't want any part of it. But I think at the end of the day, again, what it comes down to is what's Melo want? Melo wants to stay in Denver for the rest of the year and become a free agent, and he's under the impression that he's not going to lose a lot of money. Then he stays, and you'll see that on the 24th, and the Knicks will keep their core together, and he'll be here. You know, that's it's as simple as that. In a very, very complex situation, it's as simple as that. Denver is not going to be held hostage. They're not going to turn into a Toronto or a Cleveland. They've learned from that situation, and unfortunately for Melo, they have learned from that situation. So they're going to trade him. They're not getting nothing in return for him. So if it's New York or bust, he's only going to sign the extension with the Knicks, then they're going to have to work out a deal. It really is as simple as that. Area code 845. What's happening? I got 6 minutes left to go on the show. 845-279. You're on the air with Tommy D, Knicks Blog Radio. What's up, man?
Tommy D, what's going on?
Yo.
How are you? It's Giant Thinker from the website, man. What's going on today?
Hey, what's up, man? Good to talk to you and good to hear, put the voice to the plenty. And I obviously appreciate all the thoughts that you put on down there. Very, very good thinker and very, very smart commenter. So I appreciate your contributions to TKB very much. Good to hear your voice.
Well, it's good to hear you too, man. I just wanted to talk to you about, you know, people kind of simmering down. The last guy kind of knocked on it. People need to get realistic here, you know. We have some good players. Gallo, Fields, Chandler, we love to keep these guys. These guys are good glue players. They're good, you know, secondary, third, fourth weapons. But, you know, Melo, he's a top 10 player.
Right.
Sometimes you got to pay for what you want.
Exactly.
So, you know, we'd love to keep these guys if we could. And Donnie is a fantastic GM. I don't know how people want to get rid of him. It drives me crazy. People calling him a goo and all these other things.
Well, that's just stupid. That's
just, it's
hey,
just
you
so
know what that is, man?
Nonsense.
That's Isaiah Love, man. And what I don't understand about Isaiah Love is that I think it's a for lack of a better phrase, I think it's a black and white thing. I think people just they think that Layden got off scot free. Nobody out there saying, you know, this and that about Layden. Layden, it was at least you didn't see him in the paper, and he didn't cost him in a trial, and didn't cultivate, you know, the Garden into one of the biggest cesspool, you know, laughing stocks in the entire sports world.
He was just
a bad general manager. He was just a bad manager. That's it.
What did Isaiah do ever since playing for the Pistons? That's it.
Besides lose, well, I mean, he coached well. And listen, and I
he's
say
a fantastic
all the time,
player, but that's it. Everything else he's touched has turned to garbage.
One of my favorite players of all time. One of my absolute favorite players of all time. Well, I saw him limping around, you know, against the Lakers, scoring 24 in the fourth quarter, you know, just taking stitches, you know, getting his, you know, one of my favorite players. Did I like when he, you know, when he walked off on Jordan? Absolutely not. But at the same time, you're right. He hasn't done really anything. You want to go back to Toronto? I mean, come on. Those guys were there for him. I mean, McGrady was a nice pick. He took a chance, but I think overall his draft record here isn't spectacular. I think, you know, Chandler was a nice one, but did he cheat to get him? I don't know. To me, again, let's just talk about Walsh because I'm done talking about Isaiah.
Absolutely.
At the end
of the
day,
lack of loyalty
to
Walsh is crazy for me, from the fans and from Dolan. I mean, he's the one guy who deserves – he shouldn't be flapping in the wind. Not that – I understand he's got 3 more months or whatever until the option needs to be taken. But if there's any guy who needs absolute loyalty, this guy has taken – in 2 years, he got rid of all of Isaiah's trash. And did he overpay for, like, you know, the McGrady trade and all this? Yes. But, you know, you also have to look at it. He had a plan to try to get 2 max guys. That was a necessary thing in order to go and stick to his plan. No, his plan didn't work out, so in retrospect, you can go and say that it was garbage trade. But, you know, when you have a plan, you have to respect somebody who sets out a plan and actually sticks to it. We've had so many guys who say they're going to do this and that and this and that, and they go off on tangents, and they end up messing up our books for the next 10 years. I mean, we don't have picks because we traded for Starberry. How'd that work out? He's playing in China. You know, it's ridiculous.
And the key to that trade was how awful Anthony Hardaway's contract was. That was like you signing up for never gonna be under the cap after you brought in a guy like Marbury and Hardaway. I mean that was the worst contract in the NBA. That was worse than Steph's contract.
Absolutely. I mean, we should have just gotten Little Penny instead of Big Penny. You know. But all right.
Exactly.
Well, anyway, listen. I just want to get back to this Melo trade because I truly do believe this is going to happen. Okay. The man, first of all, these guys want to get paid, okay? So he wants his contract. So he's going to try to get this one way or another. He could walk away and just sign with us, but, you know, you got to get these guys when you can get them. I'm going to tell you right now, first of all, there are 2 more home games for Denver before the deadline, okay? So they're going to want to try to hold on to him so they can sell tickets while they can. But
agreed.
They have a day off on the 23rd. That's the day before the deadline. That is when this deal is going to get done. You watch. He's going to be a Knick. And if we have to take Al Harrington back, then that's great. Al Buckets can come on back because we probably should have brought him back anyway. People like to trash him too. And you know what? The boy can ball, and he loves New York. Whatever happened to us being loyal to guys who actually are loyal to us?
I agree. And listen, I like Al. I like Al as a person. He's very, you know, he has some flaws in his game. I think what you saw last year was him, you know, you had a lot of conflict last year because a lot of guys trying to play for money, and that's, you can't win games that way. It doesn't look like beautiful basketball. I think Al is a much better player than what people think or perceive of him based on what they saw, because everybody's playing for contracts. That's the bottom line. Last year was a mess. You go in that locker room. I went in the locker room a handful of times last year. What a mess. Everybody's standing around Larry Hughes. Like, Larry Hughes has something to say. Like, who's Larry Hughes, man? Like, they just want Larry Hughes to tell everybody how bad D'Antoni is. And then, you know, you got Nate in the corner who's, you know, spouting off about something. Gallinari is sitting there, like, with deer in the headlights, like, you know, can we fast forward, you know, get everybody out of here and just be on the same page? So that's it, man.
when you have guys on your team that really don't care, don't feel like they have a future, and are just basically playing to see if they can go and get signed elsewhere, and you have somebody who's like, he's trying to put the team on his back. Now, listen, he could be a chucker, but, you know, at least the guy
is I wouldn't mind Seattle back, and John, I got to run because we're running out of time here, but thank you for all you do with the blog. Thanks, everybody, for phone calls. We'll try to do this again real soon.